Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Now, the Braves Clubhouse Report.
Glad to have you with us for another episode of the Braves Clubhouse Report, right here on your home of the Braves, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Kevin McAlpin here with you for the next 30 minutes as we get you up to speed on all things Braves as they continue their four-game series tonight with the Miami Marlins, game three of a four-game series. And obviously lots of news coming out here that we'll get to throughout the course of our show. Happy to have Mark Bowman joining us in studio here today for the next 30 minutes. And Bo, an eventful day to say the least for the Braves. Couple of roster moves, Max Fried, Christian Pache landing on the injured list. I think Pache was the one we were expecting to land on the IL, but Max Fried, any surprise when you found out he was going to be shut down?
Not necessarily after you learned about it last night that there was serious enough that he was going to need an MRI, and you know, you've heard those discussions so many times. Well, let's be a little bit careful. It's It's April. My expectation when we talk to Snit here in another hour or so is he's going to say that the hope is he misses just one start and just let it calm down. When he says it's going to miss one start, you expect him to miss two starts and go from there. I mean, I think that it's just been one hit after another for this club the last 3 days.
Yeah.
You think about it. You go with the replay on Sunday night. You blow a lead. You start getting concerned about the bullpen depth on Monday. So that's Sunday and Monday. And then Tuesday, your opening day starter gets bombed. And then, because you've got a short bench, you send him out there. He doubles.
Yeah,
runs the bases, and it's not even going first to third. It's going from second to third on a wild pitch.
Yeah,
and he tweaks the hamstring, and so I'd say he'll miss two starts. The hope is he gets himself right during that time. I really don't know exactly what's going on with Max right now. I think the velocity's there. The slider's decent. The curveball's been somewhat inconsistent. I just think his location. I think he's been up in the zone with some pitches, and he's gotten hurt with it. So taking a couple weeks off may not be a bad thing.
I feel like he's overthrowing the fastball a little bit, something we didn't see last season. Early on, he had pinpoint command of really all of his pitches. But these last two starts, at one in D.C., he was just all over the place. And last night, it just seems like when he's missing with the fastball, he's missing up in the zone. And that's something we didn't see a whole lot of last season.
I think you're right. I think, and that's the thing. You jump out and you look at the velocity. You go, oh, that's fine. It's actually up a little bit. But I think you nailed it on the head right there because, go back, you look at the home run that Trey Turner hit. It's thigh high. It's on the corner, but it's thigh high. He's going for the knees there. A couple of those pitches last night. I mean, it felt like every time I went back to look, something was, at the belt or a little bit up. And like you said, we didn't see that from him last year. It's a guy that didn't give up more than five hits at any of his 11 starts last year, regular season starts last year. That's incredible.
Yeah.
They're teeing off on him this year, or these last two starts at least.
I said it on the postgame show last night. I think it puts into context how special of a season he had last year because those numbers were what they were up until the last two of the regular year. And again, you can make what you want of that, but I wasn't overly concerned about two starts. But again, when you think about those first nine last year, I mean, he had every right to be right in the mix of the Cy Young conversation. So we'll see what's next for Max Fried. Do you think having a couple of days off next week, does that play in the favor of what the Braves may decide to do with their rotation moving forward? Do you think they stay with four at least this next time through?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you said, you've got one in front of that, the Yankees series, and one right behind a day off. So that helps moving forward here. But the thing is, if you need to, you can go down and get Bryce Wilson or Kyle Wright at some point in time if Max needs a little bit. But, yeah, that does play in their favor here. You know, with Max being on the IL at this point in time.
So Max Fried on the injured list, as is Christian Pache. The Braves did make a couple of corresponding moves. They bring up Tucker Davidson. He'll add some depth in the bullpen for the next few days. Then again, it could be Bryce Wilson, Kyle Wright. We'll see what happens. Guillermo Heredia also added to the club. He was the only other outfielder on the 40-man roster. And I think even last night when you started lining up what they may do for Pache, Heredia was the guy that made the most sense. You probably weren't going to make a 40-man roster move this early in the season.
Yeah, and I think just this one day where you're seeing how you shuffle things, it leads you to question, you know, their off-season decisions, because you go out and you spend $11 million on Drew Smyly, and you say, okay, that's great. You take a gamble on this guy. You hope he's going to be a solid number four or number five. You know, I can hear the whole way. That's the cost of business to get guys, but you had depth there. You mm-hmm. had Wilson, you had Inoa, you had Kyle Wright. You did not have depth in the outfield, and you know was Adam Duvall going to come back here without the guarantee of playing every day? We'd have to know exactly how the discussions went. But even if it wasn't Adam Duvall, you got to get to a point in time when you don't know. You don't know what Christian Pache is going to do, even without this injury. We might have been talking a week from now. He's got to go down.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at that point in time, you needed to go out and get somebody. So now all of a sudden you're bringing up Guillermo Heredia and just going to roll the dice on him and hope he becomes Charles Thomas of 2004, where everyone's going, who is this guy? And then he becomes gives you Tim Hudson for 10 years. But
right.
I mean, you know, you hope that for that kind of magic, but it's not going to always transpire, and more importantly, they needed another outfielder, because you didn't know about Pache. You were, you know, weren't real confident in what Ender might be able to provide you. You brought a lot of outfielders to camp, but that's always just a roll of the dice.
Sure.
I mean, maybe Heredia does help you, but you don't know. You know that Drew Waters needs a little bit more time down there, so I think that they missed there, and more importantly, I get the decisions in the bullpen where you say, you know, maybe guys are going to be, you don't know exactly how expensive they are, but when you see what Melanson signs for with the Padres, you know, why was he not brought back? And you know, you think about that $11 million given to Smyly, you know, how could that have been used to bring Melanson back? And Shane Green, I get it. You know, maybe you don't think he can do what he did the last couple of years, but he was out there Sunday night and left center field drinking beer and watching the game and looking for a job. So, and one night later, the Braves are looking for a reliever. So,
isn't that funny how that happens? I mean, I wonder if anybody recognized him. Anybody realized who he was out in the crowd?
Well, I mean, I think from what I understand, some people did. Yeah. Yeah, some people did. So it's, in all honesty, I had a friend that was out there walking around. He told me about it. So it seemed like some people were talking to him.
Interesting. Another name that the Braves do not have back from last year's bullpen, and I thought he did a really good job. I would have brought at least talked about bringing him back. I know he's 38 years old, but Darren O'Day off to a great start with the Yankees. 5 appearances already, 4 1/3 innings. I mean, it seems like he continues doing what he does, and I think there's something to be said about that sidearm delivery, really just having that extra different look coming out of your bullpen. That was a little bit of a surprise, too, given the fact I think he signed for, what, $2.5 million with the Yankees this offseason?
Yeah, and that one happened early, and I get it. They were still didn't know exactly what their finances were going to look like. But at the same time, you know, I think what you said about the different look is very important. You think about all these lefties they have out here in the bullpen. They just they throw gas and they throw sliders, and everyone brings the same look. There isn't that, you know, I get it. Nate Jones has a little bit of a herky-jerky delivery, that kind of stuff. But these lefties, they're, you know, from the right-hand side, you've got Nate Jones and Martin, and you've got a bunch of lefties. And to go ahead and to put a guy like O'Day in there or somebody that just gives you even just a more of a, not a soft tosser type of thing, just maybe just not that – that fastball slider guy, mix it up. That would be good. I mean, it's amazing how many lefties are out there in the bullpen, especially with Tucker now. I mean, I guess with the Braves this year, you can never have too much pitching. You can't have too many lefties in the bullpen, and you can never have too many hitting coaches.
we'll talk about that a little later on in the show. Five lefties now in the pen, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm counting off the top of my head. That is interesting to see. And again, Davidson, we'll see what happens with him the next time the Braves need to go back to five starters. You mentioned Adam Duvall, and by the way, we're visiting in studio with Mark Bowman, who covers the Braves for MLB.com. Adam Duvall, I looked this up. This was on the postgame notes last night. Have you seen Adam Duvall's career numbers against his former employers? And again, I know it's only two teams. They put this out last night. Adam Duvall is hitting over 380 lifetime against the Braves and the Cincinnati Reds since he moved on from them. A big night for him last night. Drives in seven runs, two home runs. He has three on the series, four hits on the game last night. I'm sure with the news today, finding out Christian Pache is no longer available, Braves fans are just, it probably hurts even more knowing that he's doing what he's doing against the Braves on the other side now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it just would have been a natural thing to, if Pache didn't work, and obviously now with the injury, you say Acuna goes to center and you know, Ozuna stays there in left and Duvall takes over in right or whatever, however you want to mix it up. It's just, like I said, I get it that maybe Adam Duvall wanted to be guaranteed he was playing every day. Mm-hmm. That could have been part of the negotiations. And then I understand that. I mean, maybe it just wasn't a fit here.
Right.
We can sit here and talk about the money and that kind of stuff. But, it would have been nice to have him back. And if he wasn't coming back, I still think you needed to go out and find a different outfielder that was capable of doing what he did for you the last couple years.
And obviously the corresponding move today, we talked with Guillermo Heredia joins the team. You would think this means a lot more of Ender Inciarte in center field, at least in the short term. Is that safe to assume?
Yeah, until Nick Markakis is ready.
He retired, Bo.
Hey, Hoy, what'd you think of that?
He's giving us a thumbs up from the other side. In all seriousness, I mean, do you think this, they have to go out and try to figure out something else in the outfield? And I guess the problem becomes now it's so early in the season. It's April the 14th. Teams aren't getting involved in trade discussions this early in the season. So they got that working against them as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be easy to go out and find an outfielder right now. I mean, I will give Alex credit. I mean, in the past, he's gone out and found guys, you know, when he's needed to there at the end of spring training when they're available. It's
right.
Even harder now,
right.
But to go out and get Flaherty and Anibal Sanchez and some of these other guys. He's done it. It's going to be even more challenging this year now the season started. But yeah, I think you've got to get out there and you know, whoever you go out and get, it's going to be a little bit of a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
But his calculated gambles have worked when he's gone out looking for these kind of guys.
We still don't know a lineup for tonight. I do want to touch on the lineup in our next segment because it did get off to a great start last night, moving Freddie Freeman back up to the second spot in the order. I like the way that works for the team. I think they probably like it a lot better than seeing him stuck in the on-deck circle twice like it happened a couple of nights ago. I want to get your thoughts on the lineup. We'll also talk more about that controversial instant replay call and try to figure out how we can fix instant replay moving forward. We'll get to that. Lots more to get to here on the Braves Clubhouse Report right here on your home of the Braves, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
We continue with this week's edition of the Braves Clubhouse Report with you every Wednesday from 2:30 to 3 right here on your home of the Braves. The Fan 680 and 93.7 FM, game 3 of a 4-game series with the Miami Marlins coming your way tonight, 7:20 Eastern with Charlie Morton on the mound. And of course, we'll be on the air tonight with the Ford Leadoff Show at 6:05 p.m. Eastern. Myself and Chris Domino getting you set for all the action. Jim Powell, Joe Simpson, they'll have the call for you live from Truist Park as Morton takes on Bo, a local native, Nick Neider, a kid from the Atlanta area, making his second career start. Threw well against the Mets. Walks were an issue for him, but what a treat this has to be. Your second big league start going up there, going to Truist Park. Not too far from where you grew up, facing your hometown team. Pretty cool moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's really is amazing how much talent there has been in this area the last few years. But, not only do you get to, pitch against in your hometown, but you're going to be pitching against a pretty hungry lineup. a team I'm not going to say they're extra motivated, and it's the first week of or second week of the season that it's – they're desperate or anything, but this team's kind of pissed off after what's happened the last few days. So it'll be a little bit more of a challenge for him here tonight.
And walks an issue. We'll see if the top of the order can capitalize. Boy, Ronald Acuna Jr. has been drawing his fair share of walks here to start the season. Also doing a lot of damage with the extra base hits. Want to talk about the lineup here in just a moment, but Charlie Morton, big start for him in my opinion. This is the reason you bring a guy like Morton in. Chris Domino and I talked about this on our daily pregame podcast. We do it every morning on the Braves Radio Network podcast. And look, I'm not going to say this is a must win. It's April the 14th. There's no such thing as a must win in the middle of April, but this is why you brought a guy like Morton in. He's not going to think too much about it. He's not going to put too much pressure on himself, but you know what you're going to get when Charlie Morton steps on the mound. So I think this is a big moment and a big reason why you bring a guy like this into this ball club.
No doubt. And I think you saw a little bit of that from him on Friday night. He just stepped up. It was a big moment. He wanted to get the team started off right. And you saw 95 right out of the chute. His curveball was, as he said, was better than it's been at any point this year. It's just really cool to think, where his career has gone since we first knew him. Here's an interesting note. Last night, the Marlins scored 14 runs, right? Mm-hmm. The last time they had scored 14 runs against the Braves was September 2nd, 2008. If you ask Jeff Francoeur what happened that night, he will remind you he hit a 3-run homer against Anibal Sanchez.
Okay.
But the starting pitcher for the Braves that night was a young kid named Charlie Morton.
How about that?
But think about that. I mean, to be 37, still be one of the game's elite pitchers after, just kind of being something mediocre throughout most of the early portion of his career. To take his game where he has, it is a credit to who he is, and he is a great guy. And I think it's wonderful not only to have him in this rotation, but at the same time, I think he still can pitch like a legit number one, number two throughout this season. And that was more than they were ever going to get from Cole Hamels last year. Maybe Cole, his presence at least helped Max Fried take another step. But other than that, this was the right guy to go get, and Charlie will have an impact on this team throughout this entire season.
I heard him talking a couple of weeks ago. I believe it was right at the end of spring training. Maybe it was after his first start. And he was asked what he likes most about this group, what he likes about this clubhouse. And we, Bo, you and I have been around this team, you certainly a lot longer than me. But over the years, I think the Braves have done a really nice job of bringing good character guys into the room. If you're not a fit, I think back to Chipper in 2012 when Melky did the antics out in left field where he was messing with some of the fans. And I remember Chipper looking and saying, well, that's Melky, and that's why Melky's not here anymore. but I think that's one strength of this team. They have brought good guys in and year out, different regimes. They've kept that same mindset and mentality. But one thing he said that stood out to me, was that this team loves talking baseball. He said guys will sit around the lockers. They'll talk about the game. They'll talk about at-bats. When I first started here in 2012, you would still see some guys grab a beer after the game and sit at the locker. But, a lot of these guys, they're on their phone. They want to get out. They want to go home. They want to do whatever they're going to do in their lives when they leave the ballpark. But this is a group that still likes to talk baseball. It's almost an old school feel in this clubhouse. And I think that's one thing that he will, again, continue that tradition moving forward of guys that just talk about the game. That's a lost art these days in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear it because, like you said, we haven't been able to be in the clubhouse for last year or so, and it's glad I'm glad to hear that that's, you know, they're moving towards that. And whether that has something to do with when you go back to your hotel room, you really don't have anything else to do. I don't know. But they do have the right guys in there like that. You've got Charlie. You've got Josh Tomlin. I mean, you've got, Freddie. Guys that you just really would enjoy sitting around talking baseball with. You've got the world's most entertaining ball player in there, Ronald Acuña Jr. I mean, there are a lot of great personalities in there. Max Fried, it's fun talking to him about pitching. Mike Soroka, it's fun, a lot of fun talking to these guys. These guys are not just good at what they do. They have a pretty good idea of what the game's about, they understand the science like it was, like Chipper did. It was always such a joy just sitting there just learning from Chipper. It was like, you know, those years that Chipper was at his locker, we didn't even have to write our stories. He wrote the stories for us. he gave us the ideas, the quotes, and everything that he said made us look good. So
yeah,
it's fun to have guys that love the game and understand it so much. It's good to hear that they're talking. Standing around the clubhouse like that.
And one thing, when some of those guys you mentioned, whether it's Mike Soroka, whether it's Max Fried, Ian Anderson, some of these other young players, it doesn't feel like that's going to change when they get older. You know, sometimes guys, they get the big contract, they start to look at their baseball reference page and realize just how good they really are. Some guys change over the years. I don't get the feeling that, you know, a couple more all-star appearances from Mike Soroka and a big-time contract is going to change him at all. I think we're going to be talking about Soroka when he's 38, 40 years old, just being the same guy. Same with Max Fried. Same with Ian Anderson. I see a lot of similarities with Anderson than I do with Mike Soroka when it comes to the baseball IQ, the mentality when they're on the mound. So that's refreshing, too, to know that, you know, there's not a lot of hotheads in there that you see on other teams at times that might say, you know what, I don't need to talk to the media. I don't need to be bothered with these guys at times. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep, no doubt. No doubt. And it's like you said with Ian, there is a lot of similarities with him and Soroka. That's why they've been, you know, not surprising. They've lived together the last couple of years of spring training. They connect, and it's good to see that because, you know, we weren't around, you know, during the early days of Glavin and Smoltz and Avery. But you know, that bond that all those guys shared, Kent Merker and Pete Smith, you know, that was very important in you know, building what the Braves became, and that they – the Braves have a little bit of that here now, like you said, with Ian Anderson and Soroka and you know, Bryce Wilson coming and Kyle Wright and whoever else. But there's plenty of that base is there. It's going to be interesting to see where it grows.
It'll be a lot of fun to follow. We got one more break to take when Bo and I return. We're going to talk about the lineup, the new look Braves lineup last night, and Ronald Acuña Jr. being a man on a mission. We're also going to get to the bottom. We're going to solve the instant replay dilemma. We're going to do that when we return on the Braves Clubhouse Report right here on your home of the Braves, the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.
This is the Braves Clubhouse Report, exclusively on 680 The Fan.
Final segment here with you on the Braves Clubhouse Report. We do it every Wednesday, 2:30 to 3, right here on The Fan. Mark Bowman, kind enough to join us in studio here for this week's show. Of course, you can follow Bo on Twitter, at MLB Bowman. Does a great job covering the Braves for MLB.com and Braves.com as well. All right, Bo, I alluded to this before the break. You and I are going to put an end to this instant replay dilemma. I have a thought that I think will revolutionize the game. I want your thoughts, and if you have any other suggestions how this thing can get solved. For me, I think what baseball needs to do to fix instant replay, when they send plays to New York, when they call the little red phone in Chelsea Market or wherever they are these days, and they say, hey, we got a call for you to look at, you just send them the call. You don't tell them the call on the field is out or safe. Here's the call. You guys make the call. Tell us what it is, and that's what we're going to go with. What do you think about that?
I like that. I mean, for the basis of that thought, because, all right, so what you have to do is you have to provide footage that doesn't have the umpire in the, you know, on that, you know, within that footage right there. In other words, you know, let's say, or at least making the call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would defeat the purpose. That might take some angles out of it. The other thing is, you know, every once in a while you're going to have a player's reaction.
Right.
If the footage runs a little bit longer, so that it's already known what the call was. So there's a little bit of that, but maybe the answer is this. Maybe you get somebody independent, somebody who was not a baseball umpire in the past. Maybe that's who you send it to up there in New York. And it's somebody – you know, you think about Gene Steratore. I mean, here he's a guy that's an NCAA official for many years and well-known as an NFL official. I mean, there's plenty of guys that have crossovers. It's not like these guys get some old, maybe a mix of former players, former NFL officials, something. But I think that the fraternization or just that – being loyal to the umpires, there's some of that. But at the same time, why don't we just, instead of putting it in their heads that your job is to confirm whether the call was right or not.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you just make the call yourself.
Right.
All right? So now it's on you. Because right now we have zero accountability. The other night, Lance Barrett, there's no shame in missing that call.
No.
I get it. It's fast. It happens. But at the same time, there's only one person's name attached to that for the rest of time, and it's Lance Barrett.
Right.
And whoever it was, that umpire up there in New York who truly had a bunch of different angles and who is – everybody's anger is directed at this person, there is zero accountability.
Right.
And I think we got to have that too because with all of us in our whatever walk of life we're in, you got to have some accountability to – remain responsible with whatever you're doing.
Well, and to your point, an umpire blows a call on the field. They have to answer to that to a pool reporter after a game. That's happened with the Conforto issue last week. They miss a call in New York. We don't even know who made the call in New York. It's just, and they don't even identify. It's just New York made the call. We don't know that it was fill in the blank umpire made the call. So I think that's what, when you talk about transparency, that's where I think the accountability factor needs to be weighed in the conversation. What do you think, Cameo Matt?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Here's been my thought on this, and I don't know why in all sports we don't do this. I don't think the folks in New York need to know the call on the field. Use your eyes, independently judge what it is, because I think we're in this world that the officials in New York, and this goes for all sports, they feel like I have to see so much to overturn what my colleague on the field said or on the court in the NBA that we're not getting the true response we would get if they just independently looked at the play without some preconceived notion I have to come up with indisputable evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to know?
Right.
Why can't we tweak that rule? You see it. If you happen to see it the same way they do on the field here, bully for all of us.
No, Matt's just solved it. He figured it out.
I did. I cracked the code.
Yeah,
we'll give
it.
Can you give the folks in New York a call, Bo?
Oh, yeah, that kind of power?
Hey, can you send me that MP4 or whatever it's called?
I got MP7. I'll send whatever you need. I just want my credit on this, Bo.
All right,
my credit.
Yeah.
Call it the Chernoff rule.
Hey, Bo, we do have about a minute left in the show before Matt and Chuck take over. Real quick, your thoughts, lineup, Freddie Freeman staying at 2, moving forward, seems logical, right?
Yeah. I think you saw it right away last night. You've got to keep it that way. Acuna, Freeman, Ozuna, you're not going to have a more formidable 1-2-3 in the league. That it makes perfect sense. They never should have gone away from it. Freddie, you know, just glancing based on just early results, this will give him about 30 to 40 more at bats with runners on, runners in scoring position this year, and that maybe 50, 60 play appearances total more.
Yeah.
So this is the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no lineup as of yet, but do expect to see Freddie hitting second once again. Of course, Ford leadoff show starts tonight at 6:05 p.m. Eastern. First pitch, 7:20 p.m. Eastern. Braves and Marlins game 3 of their 4-game series coming up tonight. Well, that's going to do it for our show. For Mark Bowman, I'm Kevin McAlpin. Appreciate you tuning in. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday at 2:30 right here on The Fan.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.